You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
I think our connection with the game of football and how much we love what this stands for and what it's all about has connected us immediately. And so it's been seamless in the way we go. We've got a lot of difficult decisions to make, and you'll see us, you know, come together on our thoughts and all, but with absolute conviction that we're gonna go take this together and take it on in a really great fashion.
This is Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. Here's your boy Q.
We come into the sounds of head coach Pete Carroll talking about the connection, the relationship that him and GM John Spytek are building together. Two guys that look like they could be foundational pieces. Yes, I know Pete Carroll's contract is shorter than GM John Spytek's, but really good launching off point for the Silver and Black in 2025, in my opinion. We got to hear from them. You heard Pete Carroll on Monday. You heard John Spytek on Monday at the Intermountain Health Performance Center, Raiders HQ. And, again, I think two guys that did a really good job at the press conference and really kind of delivering a really good, solid message to Raider Nation about what to expect, what they were planning on bringing to the table, and how they planned on, at least initially, getting things turned around. Now, they didn't roll out the whole blueprint. There's no doubt about that. And there's obviously more time to talk to these guys and get to know these guys and see how they work. And obviously Pete Carroll's trying to put together his coaching staff right now, his assistants. He's trying to do that. So there's still a lot of unknowns. But again, for the opening press conference, for what they had to say and the initial moment that they not only got to meet with the media, but also Raider Nation got to hear them officially for the first time, I thought they did a hell of a job. Now, what I have learned over the past 3 days is that not everybody shares that same feeling, and that's okay, right? I mean, we live in a world where it's okay to not feel the exact same way, and you're able to express your feelings about that, and that's a good thing, and that's why we have shows like Unnecessary Roughness here on Raider Nation Radio 920, where you can rock with us for 3 hours, and if you don't agree with what I say or don't agree with what Ari says or anyone else or someone who calls in or texts in, that's fine. We'd love to hear your feedback at 702-365-9200, and of course, that'll be the same today as it is each and every day as we get into the show. But coming up on the show today, Trey Wingo, 33rdteam.com, pregame power-up. He'll join us coming up at 3 o'clock. We'll talk all things NFL. We'll talk about the coaching cycle. We'll talk about Mike McCarthy deciding he's taking his name out of the mix for 2025. He's not going to take that New Orleans Saints job. Instead, sit this bad boy out and wait till 2026 and try to get back into the mix at that stage of the game. Is that a surprise to Trey? We'll ask him about that. We'll talk about Brian Schottenheimer, the new Cowboys head coach, what he thinks about that and that whole process that went down in the DFW. And, of course, we'll talk all things NFL. We'll get his thoughts on the official hiring of John Spytek and Pete Carroll, what he thinks that means for the Raiders and what kind of I don't want to say grade, but more just kind of overall feeling that he has with that hire as it looks towards the other hires that were made in this coaching cycle. So Trey Wingo, 33rdteam.com, pregame power-up. He'll join us coming up at 3 o'clock. At 3:30, Vinny Bonsignor from the RJ and the Morning Tailgate here on Raider Nation Radio 920. He's in Mobile, Alabama at the site of the Senior Bowl. He's been sending us a lot of sound. He's been very active as practices have been going on. I actually got to watch about an hour of practice earlier today on ESPN. It was pretty cool to be able to start to get those looks behind the scenes. And that's when you know. That's when you know that the draft season is starting to, you know, get rolling, is when you start to see all these showcases, you start to see these practices, scouts and media and others are traveling from site to site. And it's funny, we had Teron Davenport on the show from ESPN on Monday talking about the Shrine Bowl, and he was actually at the airport leaving the Shrine Bowl on Monday. Guess where Teron's at today? He's in Mobile, Alabama, at the site of the Senior Bowl. So, again, now the Tennessee Titans have the number one overall pick. So, of course, he's going to be doing his due diligence. He's going to be all over the place seeing what scouts are there at these different all-star showcases, who they're taking an eye on, taking a look at through their eyes, right, obviously. And then also, you know, who's standing out? Who's the ones that are really showing up and showing out? And there was a lot of guys that, especially at the Senior Bowl last year, we got very familiar with through the work that Vinny was doing and the different sounds that he was providing. And he's done the same today, and I expect he'll do the same the rest of the week. So excited about that. Vinny Bonsignor will join us coming up at 3:30. Speaking and sticking with the Senior Bowl, we have Sam Brookhouse. He's going to join us from SoomerSports.com. He's also in Mobile, Alabama. So what we'll do with Vinny at 3:30, we'll probably take a look at, say, the defensive side of the ball, because he sent us a lot of different players that were on the defensive side, defensive tackles, edge rushers, even cornerbacks. So we'll get to those players that Vinny sent over. Plus, we'll talk to Vinny about the defensive side since he was really focused on that. So when Sam Brookhouse joins us coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll take a look at the offensive side of things. We'll take a look at the quarterbacks that are out there. When you're looking at a Dylan Gabriel, when you're looking at a Jalen Milroe, when you're looking at a Jackson Dart, a guy that I know a lot of Raider Nation has their eyes on, we'll really focus in there. Plus, Sam is more of a draft guy, so we'll talk to him about what the Senior Bowl, what it could do, what kind of how it could help boost the stock of some of these guys that the Raiders could have their eyes on. So we'll have a couple different Senior Bowl angles, but there'll be different angles here on Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920. That comes up at 4 o'clock. At 4:30 every single Wednesday, we have Paloma Villacana from Fox 5 Sports. She'll join the show to talk all things UNLV, who's riding a two-game losing streak. They've lost two games now in a row by 2 points each. So they're right there in the thick of things, but they just come up a little bit short. Saturday was a very exciting game down to the stretch at the Thomas and Mack, but they came up a little bit short. So now they got to try to get back into the win column. And the only problem is they're taking on Utah State, who's the number two team in the Mountain West. So that's going to go on tonight. That's not at the Thomas and Mack. That's in Logan, Utah. So it's going to be a tough game. It's on the road, and they don't want to have a three-game losing streak, not in the Mountain West, a very competitive conference. So we'll talk to Paloma as she's on the road in Logan, Utah, about the game coming up against Utah State and how Coach Kevin Kruger to get things turned around. And like I said, snap that two-game losing streak. So Trey Wingo at 3, Vinny Bonsignore at 3:30, Sam Brookhouse at 4, Paloma Villacana at 4:30. Plus, we'll hear from guys like Aeneas Peebles from Virginia Tech, defensive tackle. Ja Joyner, University of Minnesota, defensive end. Walter Nolan from Ole Miss, who's making a lot of noise. Matter of fact, we'll hear from Walter Nolan in a little bit, probably about 25 minutes from now here on Unnecessary Roughness. Walter Nolan is doing some really big things, and obviously he's a big-time player coming out of Ole Miss at that defensive tackle position. That's a guy that you will probably continue to hear a lot about, but you'll hear from him on the show today, and then you'll also hear from Azariah Thomas, the cornerback from Florida State, and I really want to hear what Azariah has to say. And it's funny, Vinny texted me earlier today, and he knows how I am when it comes to cornerbacks. I'm always talking about DBs win games. He sent me a text early today while I was on Greeny on ESPN Radio, and he said, Q, Azariah Thomas, cornerback out of Florida State, watch out for him. He is an absolute Pete Carroll-type cornerback. You have to watch out for him. So, of course, I've already been doing my due diligence because anytime Vinny brings up a name like that or someone points out someone that I need to, you know, focus in on or double look at, I'm going to do exactly that. So, Azariah Thomas, cornerback from Florida State. Vinny caught up with him as well after practice, so you'll hear from him. So, Aeneas Peebles, Virginia Tech, Ja Joyner from Minnesota, Walter Nolan from Ole Miss, Azariah Thomas from Florida State. You'll hear from all those players. You'll hear from Trey Wingo. You'll hear from Vinny Bonsignore, Sam Brookhouse, Paloma Villacana, and, of course, more importantly, we'll hear from you, Raider Nation, at 702-365-9200. So you can tell we are locked and loaded. My man Ari is live in the Lotus Broadcasting Studio. He's on the wheels and steel, as he always is. I'm here at the home studio, Studio Q. It's been a very busy day today. Left Fox 5 earlier, recorded another episode of Sin City Beat with Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer from The Sun, and of course, myself and Mike Davis, and talked all things silver and black. So that episode of Sin City Beat will be dropping Thursday on Fox 5, so look out for that. So as you can tell, we've been busy. That's what we do, man. We get busy around here, and that's what we like to do. So let's go ahead and stop playing around. Let's get busy. Let's jump into the opening drive.
The opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM is brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
Before we jump into the opening drive and get busy with that, I want to go ahead and acknowledge this text that we got from Eric D. Eric D. From the 904 on our text line. He's been very active, and I don't know if he's got the response that he's looking for, so I want to go ahead and make sure we do this off top. He said, can I get the quarterback of Syracuse some love to Kyle McCord? Yeah, Kyle McCord is a really good quarterback. We actually got to see Kyle McCord up close and personal at Allegiant Stadium when Syracuse came and took on UNLV throughout the course of the season, and Syracuse actually won that game, and Kyle McCord was good. He's a really good quarterback. I'm not taking anything away from Kyle McCord at all. Is he the quarterback that I'm going to point at and say, hey, that's the guy I think can lead the Raiders, you know, into the future? I'm not going to go that far at this stage of the game, but remember, it's only January 29th, so I do know he's really good. I'm a big fan of Fran Brown. Let me go ahead and put that out there. Fran Brown is the current head coach of Syracuse. He's a guy that I got to know really well when he was at Baylor under Matt Rhule, so I know what he brings to the table. I know he's a really good coach. You saw what he was able to do at Syracuse this past year. So, yeah, Kyle McCord is definitely a really good quarterback. And when we have Sam Brookhouse on the show coming up at 4 o'clock, I'll ask him his thoughts on Kyle McCord and where he thinks he is. But again, I will focus in on the quarterbacks and the offensive side of the ball with Sam, where when we talk to Vinny coming up around 3:30, we'll focus in on the defensive side of the ball and what's going on there at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. But thank you so much, Eric, for the text. I definitely appreciate you. And no doubt, go ahead and give Kyle McCord that love from Syracuse. Now, in the opening drive, I did have a couple different subjects that I wanted to bring to the table. Also had some sound that I wanted you to hear before we get to our guy, Walter Nolan, from the Ole Miss defensive tackle. We'll do that, like I said, around 2:30. Of course, we'll have some calls and texts in between then as well. But two different things. One kind of built off of what was going on over at Fox 5 earlier today when I was on the Sin City beat with Case and Ray and Mike. And really, we're just talking about the hires of GM John Spytek and Pete Carroll. And I think it's a really good hire. I actually put a grade on the hire. I gave him a B+. And I gave him a B+ for this reason. I think that John Spytek is going to be a really good GM. I really do. I think that he's got some good skins on the wall that he's earned throughout the course of his time in the NFL. And obviously most recently in Tampa Bay, he's learned under some of the best. So I think that those kind of traits are going to come out. So I think that that's a great hire. And the fact that he's got a 5-year deal is going to help give some stability to the silver and black. And then I gave, Pete Carroll, as much as I like that hire, I realized that he wasn't their number one choice, right? So he was their number two choice. So I couldn't give him an A for the hire, right? Just because if you didn't get your number one choice, it's not a complete A. So that's why I gave him a B+, which is about as close as you can get. Because I think if you're going to have a fallback plan, Pete Carroll's not a bad fallback plan at all. And trust and believe, I think I had the highest grade on John Spytek and Pete Carroll as far as the guys that were on Sin City Beat with me. And so it just kind of, I don't want to say it blew my mind, but it just kind of caught my attention that not everyone's as high on this hire as I am. And that's okay. And maybe I'll be proven right. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. Right? I mean, obviously, only time will tell. We all hope that things get turned around quick, fast, and hurry because, as I said on the show today, there's been just way too long that the Raiders have been inconsistent and haven't been that team that they need to be, and Raider Nation deserves a winner. So I do believe these two guys, John Spytek and Pete Carroll, will get things turned around. So for me, I just gave him an overall grade of a B+. Because, again, if Pete Carroll wasn't your first option, it's hard to really give him an A. But, like I said, if you're going to have a fallback plan, Pete Carroll's not a bad fallback plan at all. So if you had to give the hiring of John Spytek and Pete Carroll a grade, what would it be? And then, because we're going to have a theme when it comes to the Senior Bowl, when we talk to Vinny and Sam Brookhouse, I also wanted to ask you, outside of the quarterback, which is the obvious, what positions do you feel the Raiders need to prioritize this offseason? Again, the quarterback is the obvious, right? We can spend every single day talking about the quarterback. Is he? Isn't he? Go get this guy. Don't go get that guy. Get this guy. Or get this. Just like our guy Eric talked about Kyle McCord. Like, it's easy to, just jump on the quarterback conversation. But outside of the quarterback, what positions do you feel the Raiders need to prioritize this offseason? We'd love to get your thoughts at 702-365-9200 on those two subjects. You could pick one, you could pick them both, whatever the case may be. If you had to give a grade to John Spytek and Pete Carroll, what would it be? And outside of the quarterback position, what do you feel like the Raiders really need to prioritize this offseason? And before we get to your calls and texts and even some more feedback at 702-365-9200, also on Twitter at RE Produces and at RNR 920 AM and at your boy Q254. I want you to hear from John Spytek, the architect, the GM. This is his show now. He's talking about in his press conference on Monday the balance between drafting players versus free agency.
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't think there's any perfect way to do it. For us in Tampa recently, it was definitely draft and develop. I think at the start of the season, 44 of the players that made the initial 53 were drafted or signed by us as undrafted free agents. I think all but two starters were. But at the end of the day, we're gonna look anywhere we can to find a good football player. I don't care if it's at Michigan, Ohio State. It pains me to say Ohio State, but I'm gonna have to respect them. But our job is to open up, be so open-minded where we will literally go anywhere in the country, anywhere in Canada to find a good football player. And I always admired the way that they started in Seattle at the quarterback position in particular. They just kept taking shots and shots and shots. They traded, they drafted guys high. They find their way to Russell. I mean, what an unbelievable move that was. He was a little bit different. He was under 6 feet at a time where most quarterbacks were over 6 feet. So willing to think outside the box a little bit. And these are things that I've learned throughout my career. And so yes, we want to draft and develop because it's the best way to build a solid foundation of a team and then to reward those players with second contracts because we know exactly what we're doing. But if the opportunity comes to sign a Tom Brady or a Baker Mayfield or trade for a Jason Pierre-Paul or Rob Gronkowski, just examples of my career, we will absolutely do that when the team is ready and the organization is ready for that.
GM John Spytek speaking with the media on Monday, talking about the balance between drafting players and obviously free agency when it comes to building the roster and putting the roster together. And I think that that is – I think that that is really a good way of breaking it down. And, of course, everybody wants to draft and develop go through the draft. That's the best way to do it. That's the cheapest way to do it. You know, hit on your guys, give them second contracts if they deserve it, whatever the case may be, but you have them under control for so many years. But at the same time, you do have to supplement the draft with guys in free agency. You know, you have to be able to fill a void here or fill a void there every once in a while. That's what it's going to be. Now, you don't want to build your whole team through free agency. That's never a very good approach to it because you can't sustain the success as far as I'm concerned. But if you have a nice balance between the draft and the players that you put on the field and through the draft and obviously free agency as well, I think things could work really well. So going back to my question about outside of the quarterback position, what do you feel like the Raiders need to prioritize or what position do you think they need to prioritize this offseason? I look at it, and it's funny because, you know, Vinny focused in on defense, so me and Vinny I feel like are on the same wavelength and we're still thinking the same way. I think that they need to prioritize defensive tackle. And I know that Christian Wilkins is coming back. I get that. Obviously, his first year with the Raiders, the big-time free agent that they picked up, was incomplete because he went out with the injury and never returned. But I do think when you got a John Jenkins that's getting older, he's a free agent. You got an Adam Butler who wants to try to cash out and get as much money as possible, which is his words, not mine. And they're both still a little bit, you know, getting a little bit older. I could see maybe Adam Butler coming back on a 1 or 2 year deal, but I think that, you know, I think that he's probably going to want a little bit more than that if he could possibly get it on the open market. And again, I don't blame him for doing that. I think a young stud defensive tackle would be the way to go. That would be probably through the draft, right? But there's a couple guys that you might be able to go and get for the defensive line that could be in free agency. Hell, it could be a couple of your own guys, right? You could look at Calavon Chase on and say, is that a guy that we want to bring back? He's a free agent. You know, there's still the Malcolm Kuntz situation. He's a free agent. Right, we all thought that Malcolm Kuntz, I know I thought he was going to have a breakout year, a huge year last season. He never made it to the regular season because of a torn ACL. So there's a couple of guys that can go across from Max Crosby at that edge that maybe you could just re-sign your own guys. So that would be going through free agency. That's how you can address the defensive line if need be. Corner, I think, is always a need. Right, Ja'Cory Bennett is fantastic. I can't wait to see him come back. I'm also going to really pay attention to what JB is able to do coming back in year three. Remember, he's already going into year three. He was a fourth-round pick, so he's only got a four-year deal. Can he do what he did last season, play at the level he did, but also stay healthy the rest of the way? That's something to be concerned about. So I'll always say that a cornerback is something that is a need for the Raiders or any other team in a passing league, right, to have as many corners as possible, and they go hand-in-hand. So when I say defensive tackle, to upgrade the defensive line and cornerbacks, they go hand in hand. Regardless of who you think is more important, the corner or the defensive line, they go together. They work together in unison. And if you have solid players in both positions, you're probably going to have a solid unit, you know, all in all. And we know that Pete Carroll and his style over the years has been more of taller, the fast, more rangy type cornerback, so probably a little bit different than what the Raiders currently have on their outside corners. But they do have some guys like a DK Richardson who got a lot of burn. He's obviously going to have to – he's going to have a lot of competition coming up in training camp, and that's why I think that they'll definitely address that. And I'll do one more position that I think needs to be a priority, and I think that this would be the draft to do it, and that's running back. I think running back is a big-time priority. I know there's some good running backs that are out there in Mobile, Alabama right now that are guys that, you know, you should pay attention to. I've mentioned so many times. I've mentioned Devin Neal from Kansas. I think he is fantastic. I think he's a guy that you could probably get in the third or fourth round. But, I mean, Ollie Gordon II out of Oklahoma State, he's a really good running back. Trevor Etienne out of Georgia, really good running back. Cam Scataboo, everyone saw him on the big stage during the playoffs. Right? Those guys, those are all just guys that are in Mobile. Right? I'm not talking about just the whole draft. There is plenty of really good running backs in this draft. And so for a team that you know the identity is going to be, you know, really built around the run game, I think this would be the draft to go and get your running back. So those are just a couple positions that I'm looking at that I think need to be priorities for the Raiders, whether they do it through the draft or free agency or a combination of the two. Defensive tackle, you know, and obviously edge rusher, cornerback, and running back. Those are the four positions that I'm looking at right now. And I know that it sounds like a lot, but, you know, the defensive tackles and defensive edge, I mean, that's kind of like a slash because they are all on the defensive line together. So they work as a unit. Cornerback, I think, could always be upgraded. And then the running back, I definitely believe running back is a big-time need. I don't know if the guys that they have in the room are going to cut it moving forward just because we didn't see very much positivity from that running back room in 2024. But we'd love to hear from you, 702-365-9200. If you had to give the John Spytek and Pete Carroll hire a grade, what would you give it? And outside of the quarterback position, what do you feel the Raiders need to prioritize this offseason? We got Miguel from the 805. The Raiders' offseason strategy should undoubtedly prioritize enhancing their offensive line. In recent seasons, the Raiders have struggled to protect their quarterback consistently, which has stifled their offensive capabilities and hindered their progress in crucial games. Strengthening the offensive line will not only boost quarterback protection, but also improve the running game, providing the balance needed to keep defenses guessing. Very well thought out text right there from our guy, Miguel. And the offensive line, I think that's one of those that you could look at and say, yeah, You got to make sure you get all your dudes. And I think that there's a nice foundation there. I really do. I said it, and I think a lot of Raider Nation said it throughout the course of the year, that JPJ probably is a better center than he is a left guard. Most likely would like to see him at that center position as opposed to left guard. We know what Colton Miller brings to the table, right? We saw what DJ Glaze was able to do, but I don't think it would be bad to have some competition there for DJ Glaze. I don't think that that'd be a bad thing at all. Right, and solidify who your, you know, left guard's going to be, who your right guard's going to be, right? Just make that offensive line's got to be a solid unit. Now, of course, they're still working on putting their staff together, so we'll see sooner rather than later who the offensive line coach is. We might get a better idea of what his style is and what type of player we're all talking about. But there's no doubt that the Raiders need to make sure that they solidify the trenches and build the offensive line. Right, if they take any kind of page out of Jim Harbaugh, what was the first thing, his biggest priority when he took over with the Chargers? Make sure that offensive line is solid. Make sure that offensive line is solid. His first draft pick was a big ugly. That was the best of the best in Joe Alt. Right, he could have gone with a skill player. He could have gone with someone else, but he went with the trenches because he knows how he wanted to butter his bread. And it was by way of the ground game and letting everything evolve there. And he already was blessed to have a quarterback in place in Justin Herbert. So he was able to do that with a very high draft pick, go get the best offensive lineman available. So now they've got really good bookends in Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt. When the Raiders were at their best, at least in the last 20-plus years. Well, hell, no, let me go back. When the Raiders were at their best, I had it right the first time. When they were at their best, they had a very solid and dominating offensive line. Whether that was 20-plus years ago when they went to the Super Bowl, you know, one of their keys to their success was the offensive line. When I was just a young dude at the hip-hop station and we were arguing about who was better, was it the Raiders or the Niners or the Cowboys or whatever the case may be, I always were able to refer to, you can't mess with that offensive line. That offensive line is dominating. Those dudes got it done. And we all know how it went down the night before the Super Bowl. We all know how the offensive line of the Raiders got compromised. And then fast forward, when were they dominating again? When Big Reggie was in the front office and he built up that offensive line, when they had the, air quotes, car insurance, right? They were dominating. So, yeah, Miguel, you bring up a great point. You solidify those trenches, you're going to give yourself an opportunity to win some games. Really good text, man. Definitely appreciate that. 702-365-9200. Let's go out to the Bay, the Yay area. Raider Javi, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. What's up, Q?
Chilling, man. How you doing?
In the Raider. Pretty good. Good day in the Raider Nation for sure. I don't know if you guys remember, I called in a couple weeks ago kind of beating the drum for Pete Carroll. So I give that grade. I understand he gave it a B+. I give it an A-. I think it was 1A, 1B. And I kind of want to package them together with Spytek, right? And I think it was a good move overall. Mm-hmm. It seems like they share the same, you know, vision, philosophies, whatever you want to call it. And I think they're going to be tight at the hip going forward, which is exciting, right? I think we need that stability. And those are all my points that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. But, and then in regards to, you know, what position to focus on, obviously, you know, the biggest need is a quarterback, if you will. But, I mean, if you listen closely to what they've both been saying, it's like Yeah, but they kind of wanted that position to be complementary to the rest of the roster, right? And in my opinion, like, I agree with Miguel, right, with this text. Beef up the trenches, D-line and O-line. I think right now we got some young talent in the O-line, promising talent, and it's not as necessarily our strength, but it can be, right, in the near future. So continue to add there. And then the D-line is where maybe you can say we have a little bit more experience. Obviously, Max Crosby, Wilkins, who wasn't there, Coons, who I expect to be back, but continue to strengthen that, right? And then bring in a nasty linebacker that can go sideline to sideline and, you know, go in there and create some havoc and get some sacks as well. So I think that's the key right there. As much as people say, like, oh, wide receiver, this and that, and obviously you supplement that with a good running back core, right? Running back by committee. But I'm excited, man. I think it's a turn for the better, I want to say. I'm always optimistic, right? I could be wrong in a year, but so far it's looking good.
Yeah, it is. It is. Thank you so much for the call. I do appreciate you. You know, it's okay to be optimistic. It's actually a good thing to be optimistic. It feels like the Raiders have done something right if you're optimistic. Look, we've been optimistic before, right? But I'd rather feel like I feel right now, sitting where I'm sitting in Studio Q on January 29th, than Cowboy fans feel right now. Right? Cowboy fans don't feel good about their hire at all. Right? And that's not a shot at Brian Schottenheimer. It's just that's what you did. That's the process you went through, and that's what you came up with. I feel a whole hell of a lot better than with the process that the Raiders went through than, say, the Cowboys. And to double down on this, it's so funny. To get a text from a buddy of mine, a good close friend of mine, that not only covers the Cowboys, but he's like me. He's a fan of the team. So I cover the Raiders, but I'm a fan of the Raiders. He's a Cowboy fan and is a guy who covers them like a glove. He sent me a text and said, congratulations. At least your team is making smart decisions. I went through my phone. I couldn't tell you the last time I got a text from anyone that covers any team across the National Football League that would say that. I had people on ESPN laughing at me because Antonio Pierce got hired. I had people on ESPN laughing at me because John Gruden returned. I had people laughing because Josh McDaniels was there. Like, you get the theme. But all of a sudden, I'm getting texts saying, hey, man, congratulations. Your team is making some smart decisions. It's like, whoa, wait, what? What world are we living in? But real quick, Raider Javi from the Bay mentioned, similar to Miguel, about, you know, building up the offensive line. But Raider Javi took it a step further and said that, you know, John Spytek and Pete Carroll were both talking about, yeah, the quarterback's important, but you also got to build around the quarterback position to make it easier for him. And that just makes a light bulb go off in my head and go back to Monday's press conference when I asked both of those guys about the quarterback position and what they're looking for in that. And they went into great detail answers about exactly what Raider Javi said, building around the QB.
I'd go back to that. I mean, I got a chance to be around, in my opinion, the greatest player ever. And it was a love of the game and a competitive desire that just didn't allow him to quit. You know, he was never out of a fight. He was willing to do things that the ordinary football player person wasn't willing to do. And, you know, we're gonna turn over every stone to find that leader for this team, too. There's just going to be certain requirements of the job. And it doesn't necessarily take the strongest arm or the best thrower. It's the guys that will push their teammates to a place that's uncomfortable, that will give almost anything to win. That's what the best ones do, and we're going to find one of those.
Yeah, I would add to that that it's our mission to build this football team up around the quarterback position. This isn't it isn't the only spot. We happen to have the greatest of all time to help us and to see clearly, and we're gonna lean on Tom as much as we possibly can for his insights, because nobody has the insights that he has. He's that unique. But it's the quarterback position is one of the positions on the team, and we've got to make it all fit together well. You know, I've had pretty good success with my quarterbacks in the past. You can go all the way back to college days, and they've all turned out to be really extraordinary members of our club. There's a way to embrace the challenge that the quarterback has from the rest of the football team as well. We need to support our guy, and we need to do what we can to make that work. It's really about making a great football team around the quarterback position. Coach Walsh taught me a long time ago that it's the hardest position in professional sports to play, and so we need to make it as easy for them as possible. And we'll go about doing that by running the football, protecting them, taking care of the ball, playing great defense, and kicking the football when we want to kick it. And there's a lot that goes into this, but to think about how fortunate we are to have Tom Brady with us, it's just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Pete Carroll right there and John Spytek, the GM, in Monday's press conference, answering my question about the quarterback position, what you're looking for, how to address it. And you see, again, it's a collective. It's building around from the offensive line to the running game to a strong defense. I like what Pete Carroll said. We'll kick it when we want to kick it, right? That had a little bit of, we'll do what we want to do. That had a little bit of Al Davis, we'll take what we want. Not what the defense gives us, but we're going to take what we want. Had a little bit of that feel to it when he said that. I like that. That's some really good stuff there. And it kind of goes back to, like I said, Raider Javi's call and also Miguel's text that we got a little bit earlier. Speaking of calls, let's get one more in. Let's go out to the San Jose, California, probably, I don't know, story and somewhere around that area, the 408. Big Jose, welcome to the show. Where you at, my man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Q, how it do, bro? I'm actually on the campus of San Jose State right now, bro.
Oh, okay.
Today walking here.
Oh, right, smart dude. Downtown, I didn't know you were the smart guy. I thought you were, you know, chilling on Story and whatever that street is.
Hey, bro, I'm smart. I'm an MBA, bro. I got me a Master's of Business.
I heard that. There you go.
Yeah,
that a boy.
I'm from the hood. Don't mean I'm straight hood.
I respect that.
And I run my own tech company. But anyways.
Damn.
Bro, like. Hey, you know how you walk through a hood and sometimes you get taxed because you ain't got no cred?
Yep.
We ain't getting taxed no more. We got nobody taxes no more. Now that we got Pete Carroll and Sitek.
Nice.
He's legit. You know what I mean? We got cred.
Yeah.
So they can't do that no more. So, you know, that's straight up A-plus hiring, I think. And where do we need to pay attention? Man, I like the way our offensive line is going to come together because we got some young talent. It's anchored by Colton Miller. I'm going to give him a pass this year. I see him coming back, and DJ Glaze and JP on there. Hey, JP, it's going to be great. I think we need to upgrade at the skill positions because when our tight end is putting up number one numbers, we need to have a number one wide receiver. We need to be able to distribute the ball out the backfield to take some of the pressure off him because there were some games when they were putting two and three guys on Bowers, right? So then maybe he can go back to being that threat down the middle as a tight end in an open space. Well, you need someone to take the lid off the top. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
That's what I got for you, homie. Love, peace, and chicken grease from the Bay.
There you go. That's my guy, Big Jose in San Jose, cruising around the campus of San Jose State. Sir Whiskey Ray would be proud to hear that at this stage of the game. Proud San Jose State alum. Thanks so much for that call. I do appreciate it. Keep that feedback coming, 702-365-9200. If you had to give a grade on John Spytek and Pete Carroll, the hire, what would it be? And also outside of the quarterback position, because we understand that. What positions do you feel like the Raiders need to prioritize this offseason? We'll hear from you, plus we'll hear from Ole Miss defensive tackle. Maybe that's a position. That's a position I'd like to upgrade. Walter Nolan, you'll hear all that next here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
That was the opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Brought to you by Paul Padilla. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by Porta Subs. Make sure you check out Porta Subs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area Porta Subs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
Pete Carroll's the real deal. And the one thing with Pete, I really admired this. And they talked about, like, why are you doing this, Pete? I like doing this. Like, I like the process of trying to get to the playoffs, to win a playoff game, to win a Super Bowl. And you just get this guy who's just very driven. I think if you're a Raider fan, you should just be kind of proud. Like, we just got real people running the organization.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
John Middlecoff right there, 3 and Out Pod, talking about Pete Carroll and actually talking about Pete Carroll in
the beautiful day in Raiderhood. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
With our new coach and GM, here's the thing. People need to see the Philadelphia Eagles and understand old school football still works in the NFL. You don't need to go out and get this big flashy quarterback. You got to build in the trenches. And when you look at the situation this team is in, they have 8 draft picks. They have the 2nd most cap space in the NFL. They hold the number 6 pick. There's no reason this team shouldn't improve dramatically for next season and be ready to compete now. Now, I'm going to say this, so Q.
Okay.
Two names to watch that I think the Raiders should consider. Joe Milton and Hendon Hooker. Those are two quarterback options you can go get and trade probably for a late-round pick. To me, you do that, you spend your draft capital and everything and build in those trenches, and I think we're cooking with gas. Because nobody's talking about those quarterbacks. I would not. And I tell you what, I totally believe this. It will be catastrophic if they take that 6th pick and reach for any of these quarterbacks in this draft. Because with that 6th pick, you can get an impact player now. None of these quarterbacks in this draft, to me, are impact players immediately. And I would go look at maybe a Hendon Hooker or a Joe Milton from the Patriots, because I think both of those guys would be upgrades. They wouldn't cost you much in draft capital. And I think you're cooking with gas. And I think we can go from there, Q, and I think we're the future is bright. Don't listen to the media and saying, this team's not good, they don't have talent, that's hogwash. This damn team right here damn near beat the Chiefs last year with the bobble snap. So we're right on the cusp, Q, and I'm out.
All right, great call, John. Appreciate you. Yeah, Hendon Hooker is a guy that Hardcore Raider talks about quite a bit. And, you know, the one thing that stood out to me that was pretty glaring was that Teddy Bridgewater, he returned from being a high school coach, and he immediately was the backup quarterback, and Hendon Hooker was the third-string quarterback. He was their emergency quarterback in their playoff run. But he's a hell of a player. I know that. I don't know how his game translates to the NFL. But really good call, John. Thanks for that. Appreciate you. H in Albuquerque, you're up next. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, Q?
Chilling, man. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm well, thank you. You may recall last camp, you were getting a lot of calls about the quarterback situation. Everybody's concerned about that. And mm-hmm. I called in and I said, yes, that's a concern, but my bigger concern was the offensive line. You know, basically we had two backup quarterbacks, and we needed a good offensive line to provide them with a run game and pass protection, which we basically didn't do. I mean, late in the season, they made a coaching change and shuffled the line a little bit, and they started to play better. But the same thing happened the year before that, even. And we've been dealing with this issue for a long time, as you already alluded to. To me, the reality is there's only a couple of elite quarterbacks in the league. And we have a lot of good quarterbacks that play well at times. I was watching interview with Pete Carroll with EA and JT just the other day, and he said you got to get a quarterback and put a team around him to support him and to play well, and that's what we need to do. There, you can throw out all kinds of quarterback names. We need to get a prospect and develop him, but the likelihood is we end up with a good quarterback who needs a team around him to succeed. There's just, you know, Mahomes. I don't know who else you want to debate the lead guys. Maybe Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. But Josh, I don't know. There's only a few. There's not like you can just pick one and go. So I want to say the offensive line is the biggest thing. I think you can beat a more skilled team at the line of scrimmage. So get that offensive line together. That's what I think.
Hey, good stuff, H in Albuquerque. And, yeah, I think there's 4 elite quarterbacks in the league right now. Patrick Mahomes, obviously, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow. You can put them in any order you want. Those are the 4 elite quarterbacks, in my opinion, in the National Football League. And everyone else is a good quarterback or even maybe close to a great quarterback, but they're definitely not elite. Now, there's a lot of guys that are getting paid like elite quarterbacks, but they're not elite quarterbacks. Let's get one more quick call. Raider Dave, you're finally up. My bad, man. Raider Dave Endeavor, welcome to the show.
Hey there, my carrot cake eating brother. How are you?
There you go. I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm good. It's terrific stuff in the morning. Glad that either you or Las Vegas Review Journal got Vinny out east. Yeah, at least there's some more donuts in the break room every morning. But the broken record that I've been pounding for years and watching the Raiders since I was a little kid in the late 60s, is offensive line. And I know the other caller said something about it, but I wanted to point out that all those championship teams, and even when the Raiders were their best after Carr got into the league, it was Rodney Hudson and another guy who was a Pro Bowl player. And you just have to have Pro Bowl effort from an offensive line if you want to make it anywhere deep. And I'm so glad that finally the Raiders have the kind of experience in a coaching leadership that believes in that, that is going to draft that way, because they need to do it in order to make a run game good. You said something earlier about Zeus not being what you thought he was going to be. I really wasn't surprised, and I don't think it was so much about Zeus. I liked going younger. Josh Jacobs, as great as he is, broke down a little bit at the end of the seasons, a few seasons, and you kind of had to wonder, well, but if you're going to have the A gap blown up like Josh Jacobs last season and then when Zeus played, there's no running back that's going to be able to make hay in between the tackles. It just does not happen. And, you know, James has overachieved being an undrafted free agent center in the league. I dare you to find another undrafted free agent center that's gone as far as he has in the NFL. I mean, the kid's been great. But we've got a couple now that can play that. That, you know, the new coach is going to have some choices to make. And I'm fully on board with trying to go back, and I know this last experiment didn't go good when we got that Patriot guy, but to get a right tackle that is a veteran frees up the ability to go elsewhere in the draft early. Some people talk about the running back, you know, out of Boise or whatever, but when you talk about what kind of grade has been handed, I think it's all B-plus until there's wins on the board. After that, it can go to A's, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you look at the way the defensive backfield was for the Legion of Boom, those were Pro Bowl guys too. When you look at the greatest Raider teams that went anywhere, Van McElroy, you know, the Soul Patrol, back when, you know, Haynes and Hayes were there, they were all some Pro Bowl guys that were in that defensive backfield. And other than Bennett, I don't see anybody that is on that track with that kind of skill. Merrick's done a great job, but he doesn't have the closing speed. He doesn't have the weight, and I don't think he's got the football acumen that somebody like Cam Chancellor and others that the new coach used to work with. So as much as Spillane is excellent, and I'm sure he'll get a contract as well as Max, the improvements have got to be the offensive line. Obviously, you know, doing something at quarterback, and I really love the fact that the coach said, we're going to get this started, and we're going to get it started right away. To me, that means being in concert in three positions, head coach, offensive coordinator, and quarterback. So if this comes to fruition with the old offensive coordinator for Russ and Russ Gums, then you know darn way that you are not starting out in first gear when you hit the ground running in preseason or in camp. But I think it is going to be, you know, offensive line, defensive end to match Max over there, and it's going to be really deep, you know, with Koontz and everybody coming back. But it's got to be defensive backfield a little bit, maybe round three or four in the draft, and maybe another vet. I just don't know if Epps can come back and be the guy he was after that injury.
Right.
But I appreciate the questions today. Again, great job to Raider Nation Radio, man. The combination or the partnership with the Raiders and their facility and how all this comes off with JT and Lincoln, it's all been fantastic. So hats off, buddy.
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the compliments. That's Raider Dave in Denver. And, yeah, man, everything is really coming together really well. Really appreciate that and love the coverage that we're able to provide each and every day. And, you know, going back to, and I love to look at that 2016 offensive line when the Raiders just were so dominant. Donald Penn at the left tackle spot, Kelechi Osemele at the left guard spot, Rodney Hudson at the center spot, Gabe Jackson at the right guard spot, and then Austin Howard right tackle. I mean, that was the ultimate offensive line. That offensive line was so stinking talented. And if the Raiders want to get back to be a dominant downhill running team and protect the quarterback like that offensive line was able to, they're going to need to build that up as well. Thanks so much for the calls. Thanks for all the feedback that we received so far at 702-365-9200. If you had to give a grade to John Spytek and Pete Carroll the hire, what would it be? And then outside of the quarterback position, what positions do you feel the Raiders need to prioritize this offseason? We've got Trey Wingo coming up from 33rdteam.com at 3 o'clock. But right now, let's go out to Mobile, Alabama, and hear from Ole Miss defensive tackle Walter Nolan, who got caught up with by Vinny Bonsignor.
What were your goals coming in here for this week?
Really just improve my draft stock every day, grow more as a player. You know, we got a lot of experienced coaches out here, so just kind of like ask the question, kind of stuff that I need to work on before I get to the league. You know? Just consistent growth, consistent strive to get better.
Obviously, there's so much focus on the field, but there's a lot of stuff that's going on off the field for you guys here, talking to teams, talking to the media. How are you embracing that part of it?
Really just take every day as a blessing. You know, it's a million kids out here in the world wishing they was here. So really just taking every conversation as a blessing and just, you know, just taking one step at a time.
What kind of feedback are you getting from teams and from scouts?
Really, they just want to see me practice hard, just get to know me, because, you know, I don't really talk a lot, so a lot of people think I'm mean and stuff. So they want to get to know the real Walter, is it?
Do you pattern your game after anybody? You got somebody you really
like? I really be trying to pattern my game off. Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald?
Yeah, yeah, they're my favorite player ever put on a pair of cleats. Really did him.
What, do you see some similarities? Or what do you try
for
to
me, I would say, yeah, but I don't know if anybody else feels the same.
You're a little taller than me.
Yeah, I am, but that's probably about the only thing.
What, you're from Memphis. It's like a gritty city. Where do you think that comes out in you, your personality, your game?
I feel like they kind of come out here on the field. Like, you know, really just, I kind of use the field as like being back at home. You know, back at home, you know, you always got to watch your back. You know, somebody always coming for you. Not necessarily coming for you, but you got to watch your back and take care of yourself at all times. I really just try to come out here and use that same mentality, you know, and just try to be the best, try to be the best.
You like the competition, the one-on-ones, that kind of thing. You feel like that fits your personality?
Yeah, I'm a very competitive person. I hate to lose. So I love the one-on-one. I love all of it.
So you like Mike Tomlin was involved in your drills a little bit. Has there been like a, oh, I can't believe that guy's here kind of moment for you involved with some of these NFL people?
Man, all of them. You know, I've been watching these people on TV for all my life, so yeah. Really just finally get to meet someone and put some names to faces. It's been pretty cool. It's been pretty fun.
Have you got a chance to talk to the Raiders at all?
Yeah, I have talked to the Raiders.
How'd that go? How'd that feedback go?
I feel like it went pretty good. You know, I feel like they came to a lot of our practices. So now it's more so them trying to get to know me and stuff. So I feel like I had a pretty good conversation with them.
Walter Nolan, Ole Miss defensive tackle there at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. You hear Vinny Bonsignore amongst other reporters talking to him. And that little nugget at the end was pretty interesting, that Walter Nolan said that the Raiders scouts were at the Ole Miss practices quite a bit throughout the course of the year. So now he's really starting to get to know them. And there could be many different reasons for that, including their quarterback, Jackson Dart, a guy that I know a lot of Raider Nation is very high on. Speaking of, Brad Logan. He's inside the Rebels, 247 Sports does a fantastic job. He's actually going to join the show tomorrow to talk about Ole Miss. So anybody that you want to know about, maybe Walter Nolan that you just heard right there, the big defensive tackle who's getting a lot of attention, he's going to be an early pick, and Jackson Dart, the quarterback, and others that they have as far as Ole Miss goes, then, you can make sure to tune in to hear that coming up tomorrow. I look forward to that conversation as well. We've got Trey Wingo from the 3013.com. Pregame power-up coming up at 3 o'clock. We'll talk all things NFL. Let's see. We got a text from Barry in Baltimore. Wow, you know it's a different hire when John Middlecoff gives the Raider credit. LOL. That's real. That is real. I mean, that's one thing that I never thought that I would ever hear is him giving the Raiders any kind of credit for anything. I know he's a guy that did radio for a very long time in the Bay Area when the Raiders were in the Bay, and 97.5 The Game was the flagship station, and he's not a guy that has very glowing reviews of the Raiders ever, but at least he's given a nice tip of the cap to the Pete Carroll hire. Now, obviously, it's great to get the flowers. It's great to get the recognition. Now you got to do something with it. So now that a lot of folks are recognizing that the Raiders went in a good direction, at least it sounds like it feels like they went in a good direction, now they got to put this whole thing together and start to build this team out with the roster, figure out who on their team they're going to keep, who they're going to go out and get, possibly in free agency, who they're going to get in the draft. And that's why Vinny's in Mobile, Alabama right now for the Senior Bowl and a lot more. So keep that feedback coming at 702-365-9200. Outside of the quarterback position, what position do you feel like the Raiders need to prioritize this offseason? Text, let us know, 702-365-9200. It's Raider Nation Radio, 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.